ゴジラが近づいております。警備隊の指示に従って避難してください。
Live images here in the studio.
Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. I don't know what it is.
Welcome to Tokyo Live Special Report on Colossal. I'm Cameron.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Rob.
And we are doing another of our unedited long ramblers here.
We'll keep it pretty short and sweet to the point, but us, we do ramble sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as Cameron said, it's spoiler free. And as always, this is gonna be great. It's unedited. It's so fun.
I never said anything about it being spoiler.
Okay. Before we get to the bump, we will be doing spoiler free.
Just do our hot
discussions.
Take. Hot take. No spoilers.
Not even describing the plot. Just kind of giving us just what we thought of the movie.
Because the plot itself is a spoiler.
And giving you guys definitely some some. You know, just some suggestions on how to go into this movie, I would say.
Yes.
And then we'll be doing our spoiler discussion after, where we'll go into all the big details of the film.
I need to stress something. Yeah. So I'm definitely guilty of this. Sometimes I'll just like listen to the spoiler part anyway and still like go see the movie. This movie, I think, is definitely better if you don't know, like going in, if you go in blind.
Yeah, for the
because
most part.
The emotional weight of the film kind of evolves from that. I'd think it wouldn't be, it's not like you can't know what's happening and watch the movie and be like, oh, it's boring now. But I feel like the gut punch of the like narrative is from not knowing going
true
in.
Yeah.
true.
Cameron, do you want to start us off with kind of like your raw opinion of the movie, your
Ooh,
hot take?
Yeah. So I loved the movie. I really, really liked it. I like movies that take me by surprise. I really like movies that are completely different from the trailer.
Yes.
I like directors that do things that are kind of weird, and I just like instantly fell in love with this concept when the trailer first came out and we first started talking about it.
Yeah.
It's just so original, and what the movie ultimately is, you don't see coming, and it ends up being, I think, kind of a powerful...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's got something to say, and it's...
Yeah.
More personal than your typical sort of like giant monster metaphor.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that, I mean, the biggest thing with it is it's my, I liked the movie. I really did. But, one of the things that I will say is that don't go into this movie wanting to see giant monsters. Like, that's unspoilery as I can get. this movie has less giant monster action than Godzilla 2014 did.
Yeah.
A large extent. But the movie itself is still very good. And it's definitely worth seeing. I just, like, I think the biggest thing for me is, like, yeah, the emotional gut punch is... came out of nowhere, so I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I was kind of hinting at whenever I was first talking about this, like, I think that you should not expect, like, what you saw in the trailer is not the real part of the movie that you're going to get, and the real, like, meat and bones of this movie is not anything what that trailer showed.
Yeah.
Rob?
I have to echo the sentiments.
Yeah.
This movie is... So, like, I saw, like, a review online that I think was just a troll review or something. It's like, a great rom-com with monster fighting? Wow! Sign me up! And that is not what this movie is.
Nope.
At
no.
all.
Yeah.
The
especially the rom part of it, but...
No, there's no rom. There's no rom.
No. This movie... So, here's the thing.
A dramedy?
Yes. It's a dramedy. It's a dramedy with giant monsters. That's a really good way to put it, because... Yeah. It's shot less like a giant monster movie, more like a drama that mm-hmm. cuts to footage of like a giant monster movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I would say it's definitely low budget. Like, I mean, you can yeah. tell that like this movie did not have a lot of budget going into it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not saying like it's bad because of that. It's just, no. you can tell like they may have wanted to do some other things, yeah. but they couldn't have done it because yeah. they didn't have the money or the time.
It looks great though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a very good looking film.
There was only one scene that like I noticed like a weird color problem.
Yeah.
And then they fixed that almost immediately after a little while. So I think maybe it was just like a stylistic choice.
Hmm.
And it was like right when our character moves somewhere. Okay. I don't want to get into this. I'll nitpick that.
Cease and desist.
But I think this is a good movie. I think going in, you probably shouldn't like read spoilers about it. You shouldn't listen to the second half of this
cast.
You
should really, really go in blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you're gonna get the most out of it.
But yeah, it is. There's definitely like emotional weight to this movie.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for like a fun light evening with the family,
also probably not the best movie to take a first date to. Maybe saying this might be a little weird. Without getting into spoilers, you'll understand once you see it, or if you decide not to go see it and just listen to the cast, then you'll understand after the break.
Yes.
I think that, like, last thought on it before we get to spoilers, I think that this is a type of movie that is so different, and even though there's, not very much giant monster stuff in it, it still fits in the genre, but barely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and it was funny because me and my wife, Marissa, were talking about... we were joking about it after we got out and how we were like apologizing about Power Rangers of like being barely in our wheelhouse. And I was just like, man, ooh, talk about a movie that was barely in our wheelhouse. Like
if we had known everything about this movie before going into it, we would probably have a long debate about it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having it on Tokyo.
Right.
I mean,
we probably still would have ended up doing it, but yeah, we wouldn't have,
I would not call it a giant monster movie.
No.
Yeah. Iron Giant is more of a giant monster movie than this movie.
Oh, don't you start. Yes. Don't you make me start, Cameron.
Cannot wait.
Oh, my God.
We've been trying to convince Kyle for months that technically
everyone
it's a giant
wants
monster.
Me to do it. Everyone. I just don't want to do it. Anyway.
That would have been a great April Fool's cast.
That would have been great.
Oh. Well,
maybe
well,
next year, folks.
We'll see you next year with the Iron Giant.
All right, guys. So you want to just go ahead and get to the bump after the bump? Because I feel like that's where we're going to have a lot to say.
Yeah, because that's when we can really get into the meat and potatoes of this meat and bones. Meat. Gut punch, meat.
Green
symbolism.
Beans and cream gravy. And
I'm really hungry. I haven't had breakfast yet. Anyway, we'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you in just a sec.
A monster will destroy us all. Prehistoric man. A monster will destroy us all.
Monster.
A monster will destroy us all. Prehistoric man. A monster.
This monster you see. You think your bomb will stop him?
And we're back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to do a quick plot breakdown of this movie. And since we're in spoiler territory, again, I need to stress, this movie is better without spoilers, but if you really don't want to see it, or you can't see it, or you just...
Yeah, because can't might be the actual thing.
Yeah.
It seems like this movie is getting a real limited release.
Yeah,
very limited.
I know, like, you know, we kind of talked about it last cast, but, like, we got lucky that it was actually gotten this whole weekend, or this whole week.
Yeah.
For the Alamos in Austin.
Yeah.
Not even all the Alamos in Austin, actually. I think it's only four of them.
Just the really hip ones.
Yeah, just like the really big popular ones.
And then, Regal 8.
Yeah. And Regal 8 got it, like some of the smaller theaters that do indie films. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, this we didn't say it before, but you know, if you're still with us, I think that this isn't really a movie that you necessarily need to see in theaters.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say like it's like a big, like I said, there's not much giant monster action, so like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
not like anything huge that you would need to go see. Like, you know, Godzilla 2014, I told everybody go see it in IMAX because that was like a big spectacle. This isn't really that kind of film.
This is definitely something you can watch on a small screen and get the exact same like emotional weight from it,
right?
Because there is, and we'll get into this in just a little bit, there's not a lot of giant monster destruction. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, one of the things that like I always like you know, gush over is like Toho will blow it up.
They got something, Toho blow it up.
They don't do much to Seoul. No. Like, I mean,
they talk about it.
We talk about it. We don't. Yeah. Anyway, let me go ahead and just do the plot. So we start off with Anne Hathaway, Gloria. She is an ex-writer for a blog that was popular, I guess. She lives with her boyfriend. She parties too much. And her boyfriend's getting tired of it and kicks her out. We saw that in the trailer, and that's literally like minute one of the movie.
Yeah, it's before the opening title even pops up. Yeah. Because it does the... the flashback thing first, where the giant monster appears in Seal.
So we have 25 years ago, we have like the giant monster, which goes unnamed.
We can call it Pulgasari.
Pulgasari, yeah. Knockoff Pulgasari. Just drinks at the... what is this, amateur hour?
I'm sorry for you listeners, as we said, unedited.
It's unedited.
So yeah, we have a flashback 25 years ago where we see a little girl walking around. She picks up a doll, and then a lightning storm happens, and Pulgasari 2, Shin Pulgasari, shows up. And then we cut to modern day. We have Gloria. She's like hungover, and she's like, "I just was at a loft. I don't remember my friend's name." Her boyfriend's like, "All right, you're out. I'm done. I can't. You gotta move." Yeah. So he leaves, and she moves back to her old hometown. And like into her childhood home, which I guess her parents were renting or something.
It's they still own the house, but they live somewhere else now or something like that. I don't know.
It's here that we get introduced to an old childhood friend of hers, Oscar, played by Jason Sudeikis.
Oscar.
We'll get to why Cameron hates.
He's not likable.
He is not.
I mean, he's likable at the beginning. Well, because
he's playing Jason Sudeikis when we first meet him.
Me saying Oscar's name like that is a spoiler.
We're in the spoilers. It's fine. But anyway.
So it turns out Oscar runs the old family bar. And she, being the kind of like alcoholic party going girl that she is like, "Oh, well then, yeah, I'll totally hang out at the bar." And
get free drinks and all that stuff.
Yeah. And kind of have her like getting really drunk and like, these people must never sleep other than like for a few hours a day, because she spends all night at the bar, then walks over to like a store where she can pick up like an inflatable mattress, and then drunkenly walks through like a kid's park at like 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
8:05
on the dot.
She wakes up the next morning, and this is where we get the trailer scene of her being like, "Oh my gosh, I just saw the soul was attacked. Oh, that's so terrible." And like her boyfriend's like, "That was 9 hours ago. What are you talking about?" And she's like, I've been drinking.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's still like a comedy. Like, yes, it's still funny and goofy. And like alcoholism is treated as like just a fun little joke.
Oh, she's a mess. Man.
Yeah. And this is the part of the movie that we like, they kind of show in the trailer, but like it's where she's trying to, she starts to maybe put things together that she may be related to the monster at this point.
Yeah. Because she goes back to the bar one more night, and then she's like, "Wait a minute. She goes back to the bar, walks through the same park talking to her boyfriend on the phone, and sees the monster, and they like, you know, do kind of like an overly, like it's not super well done, but it's like, "Oh, she scratches her head. It's a nervous tic of hers." And then like the monster does it, and she's like,
"What is this?"
Mimicking her on the phone and getting mad and throwing the phone. And then she goes back to her house, wakes up the next day, and then is like, "I'm going to see if I am the giant monster." So she goes to the park. She goes to the park again, and she like tries to do like a series of hand signals.
In the trailer where she does the raising her hand
and then making a T posing and clipping through a building. She's like, "Oh, I'm the monster." And then we get like her going back, and she's kind of like drunk and like sitting there, and then she's like, "Wait, oh, I'm gonna show all my new friends, Oscar and hunky guy."
Let's see, we got Joel.
Joel's hunky
who's
guy.
The young hot guy.
Yeah.
And then we've got Garth, who's the coke addict guy.
Maybe not.
We don't know. Because it's actually really sad, because he's actually kind of a really great character. Like he's the one that does the magic trick in a little bit.
He's my favorite.
He's pretty fun.
And then
they get rid of him like 100%. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. So she did the experiment. She realized she's the monster. So she gathers all of them up the next night.
And then and
it's like, I'm going to show you something cool.
Yeah. This is when we get the trailer scene of her doing the like pelvic dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is also where the movie turns.
Yes.
Because that's all we see in the trailer is the womp womp. Oh, she's dancing. She's drunk. Ha ha ha.
You're like, oh man, what a fun thing.
But then she starts to panic because she forgot like how to get out of the area she's in without stepping on anyone, and then trips and falls, and then maybe kills a lot of people.
She blacks out. Yeah.
We know it's heavily implied that she kills a lot of people.
I mean,
but I'm not actually sure. And this was something that the movie could have handled a little bit better, was that scene specifically, because she falls, and then the next scene is her just waking up again.
Yeah.
And she, like, is freaked out. Because that's one thing that they did really well, like, and I'll say this here, is that they did a really good job of showing how someone probably would react to the fact that they unintentionally killed, like, thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how she reacts whenever she realizes that she is the monster. And, like, instead of... I know we just talked about it, like, she does the test and becomes, like... you know, super excited by the fact that she is the monster, but she does have that repercussion moment where she's just like, oh no.
Like, she starts to panic.
Yeah, she starts to panic. She freaks out.
I think, and like, you know, Anne Hathaway does a really good job there of showing like the emotional, like, it's like, oh, haha, I'm drunk and just kind of messing around. But like, yeah, you are kind of like emotionally weird when you're drunk, and it's like, wait, no, I don't remember. And she starts to panic. It's not like she blacks out drunk. She like starts to panic and look around. I should have been looking at the mic when I did that, but she starts to like, you know, spin around. She's like, I don't know how to get out. I don't want to hurt anyone. And then she trips herself and falls and like crushes a bunch of buildings. And this is when we get the big reveal that not only is she turning into a giant monster, but Jason Sudeikis turns into a giant robot.
Yes.
And so Jason Sudeikis handles the like thing, like he handles it really well. Like weirdly calm about it. Mm-hmm. He's just like, and I was like, oh, it's just Jason Sudeikis being Jason Sudeikis. Yeah. It's like, oh, weird thing happened. All right, well, that's fine. But it's like the start, the like beginning of a reveal that is about to like really kick off.
Yeah. Ooh. So like she becomes the giant monster again. She does the note thing, which I thought was really funny and really cool.
They go to just a generic Asian restaurant, which I guess is supposed to be a Korean restaurant.
I assume it's Korean. Yeah, I think they say it at some point.
Yeah,
they ask him to the Korean guy to write down like in Korean, like it's like, you know,
I'm sorry, this was a mistake or something.
Yeah, it won't happen again.
So everyone's like, oh, yay, the monster's a good person, and we all like the monster now.
It's a really cute scene.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like
the guy in the bar was the funny part. Was it cut back to the bar?
I knew it was a good monster.
Yeah,
yeah.
That got a good laugh from my crowd whenever he said that. So we're building into the actual reveal here of like it does. Isn't the next scene that we see it goes to that night?
Yeah, she goes to hang out with Hunky Guy and Bone.
Right.
Yeah. Jason Sudeikis, I guess, realized that and
becomes
like,
furious.
He's mad, but he's like also just like just drunk and like staying in the park and now just kind of like messing around.
Yeah, he basically probably turned to Garth and was like, "Hey, you know what would be really funny?
Like, look, like, I'm a giant monster. Let's go. It'll be fine. Just bring the iPad that you have
and tell me what to do or whatever." Yeah,
which actually gives like a really funny headline.
Yeah.
For not a super funny situation, but it's, so it shows, like, the monster, and he's, like, he's, like, raising his leg and, like, miming, like, kicking, like, oh, I'm gonna get you. Oh, and the headline says, Robot Taunts Business District.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
So,
Anne Hathaway hears about that, runs down to the park, and is like, what are you doing? And, like, they have their first scuffle.
Yeah. She slaps him.
She slaps him, and, like, it's just kind of like...
People all over the world just go, oh!
Yeah, and start cheering. Yeah. That was a big thing that they kept cutting back to, was that you hear in the neighborhood they are in, where the park...
Yeah.
You hear, like, the people with their windows open cheering for the monster slapping the robot because the robot was just being a jerk.
Yeah.
The
robot's just being a giant dude.
So... Which sets up later whenever things get bad.
Yeah. This is like the genuine turning point in the movie, because now Jason Sudeikis starts getting obsessed because he just starts watching the video of the robot being slapped by Shin Pulgasari again over and over.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the Thug Life video. Cause
and trying. Monster. And yeah. This is when we learn that Jason Sudeikis is just not a very good guy.
Yes.
He's really not. He's just not a good guy at all.
I should stress, I've kind of skipped over this. Up to this point, Jason Sudeikis has been showing up to Anne Hathaway, Gloria's house, and just kind of being like, hey, oh, I remember that TV that we talked about? Oh, hey, remember that bed that you were asking for? And like the first time it happens, like she did actually mention a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second time she doesn't say anything about a bed, and I, you know, being the moviegoer, was just like, oh, she just forgot.
Yeah.
But
which seemed intentional.
He was gaslighting her.
Oh yeah. Like,
oh yeah. So spoilers, Jason Sudeikis is just like an abusive dude. This is all a giant metaphor for an abusive relationship, because
he's a guy that does not have power and he's never had power. Yeah. And now he's just gotten
it's like, oh, I'm a giant monster. Yeah. I can do whatever I want. And now he has control over her because he starts saying like, look,
and if he clearly,
you don't stay here, if you don't work at my bar, if you don't do blank, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to start kicking things.
Yep. And he clearly, like had feelings for her when they were like kids, I guess, or something, but then they kind of countermine that later, which I wasn't actually very clear on.
Yeah,
because like when they first meet, it seems like he like had a crush on her,
yeah,
and she left and he didn't get, like, you know.
Yeah, I think they build it up as sort of the rom-com aspect from the trailer. I don't think he ever really had feelings for her. I think it was just a sort of extension of
of the wanting power over someone.
Yeah, because it's, I don't want to get too heavy on a giant monster podcast, but I mean, a lot of this seems to be about control. Like,
yeah,
it feels small and wants to feel big.
Yeah. It this whole,
which fits with the, that's pretty much the theme of the movie. Yeah.
Do you get it?
I see what you did there.
Do you see it?
I got it. I was there.
Yeah.
So Jason Sudeikis goes back to the park, and like at this point he's like hanging out at the bar and he's like been drinking like straight whiskey. And
like
he's like
big glasses,
being quiet, and he's just chugging from the bottle by the end of it. But he's just sitting there and he's like, hey, come on, I'm going to the park. I'm going to the park. And like Anne Hathaway's like, don't do that. And he's like, I'm going, I don't care. And
started the first two chase sequences in this movie.
Yeah.
he drives down there and starts like starting to rampage, but like is goading her on, like, come on, do something, like, do something about it, try something. And we get like an actual fight scene between like the monster.
Yeah.
And, I mean, mind you, it's only like a little clip.
It's just a little, like, it's like literally just a scuffle. Like she like,
but this is not,
it's not a fun fight.
No, it's not.
It is deeply uncomfortable. And every time you see Jason Sudeikis, like, you know, kind of like grab her or like raise a like hand, I was like, oh, it's not, man. I watch Black Widow flipping around and getting punched and punching people in the face, and it's like, awesome, what an action packed fight sequence. You know, Wonder Woman jumping around and like kicking like Doomsday in the teeth and like getting thrown against like a building, and it's rad.
Yeah.
This is not that.
It's a drama. It's a drama fight sequence.
And it's real, like, this is the first time that they have a real fight. So
yeah.
Like it,
well, he's goading her. He's not even really.
No,
like,
he wants her to,
he's
like,
come
have
on, do something.
He
do
wants
something.
To have a replacement of, or like some other scene that people will watch, just like the slap.
Yeah,
and so he's goading her along, and then she punches him, and then they leave.
Yeah,
and that's it. But like the thing that I was trying to point out is like you were talking about when he's grabbing her, even in this first fight,
it's
violent.
Yeah,
grabbing, like it's like the. It's the, like, I don't know, it's one of those uncomfortable, like, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever like play fought with your girlfriend or whatever, but like there are like, no, but like it's the things that you don't do in play fights. Like it's like, you know, play fighting is all fun and good, but like there's just like, you don't grab them by the shoulders and shake them and like
try and push
grab them hard enough to where they like complain about it, like saying like this hurts.
It goes very clearly from a fight scene to we're just watching
two people.
Domestic violence.
Domestic violence, exactly. Domestic that's violence. What I was trying to get at.
This is where kind of like one of my first problems happens, is that like there's just kids walking by when this is happening, and not a single one of them is just like recording, like
no one sees
anything. No one does anything. And I guess maybe that was a metaphor for like abuse abusive relationships in America. I feel like they didn't quite delve into that.
Yeah, I feel like they wanted to tell the personal story, so they didn't. They tried to not get outside of it.
Yeah.
I totally see what you're saying, because I was thinking the same thing too. Because like they keep cutting back. I think it's the problem is the director decided to keep showing the kids walking to school.
Yeah.
Like every time they're out at that park in the morning, it shows the kids walking by.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like why did you keep showing that if you're not going to do something about it?
Yeah.
Like, I get you were trying to show us that it's 8:05 a.m.
Yeah.
But just them being at the park, like we got that already. They've already drilled it into our heads that the 8:05 a.m. is when the transfer
can happen.
Yeah.
Another thing that really was kind of weird is that like buff guy Mick Boring Pants Joel who's like, you know, the handsome one who's like kind of fit and
might be
like
a little quiet.
Maybe he doesn't like, he's just kind of watching the screen as like they fight and then like kind of looking back up. He's like, guys, hey, stop. And then like it's like real actual domestic violence and he's not gonna like, I know that like Jason Sudeikis has something on Garth.
Yeah,
because the scene before is him like kind of.
That's
calling,
when Garth That's why Garth's not there at this first fight. Is because Garth got already like, it basically Jason Sudeikis like, gets super aggressive against everybody
there. Picked a fight with him.
He picks a fight with everybody pretty much at the time, and then he says like, "We know you're just in the bathroom doing coke and stuff like that."
But
and
he's doing it in that kind of like domineering.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he's telling him to come sit back down and not
remember who's in charge here.
Yeah, because he tells. Oh, that's right, because he tells her to go pull the screen back up, and Garth's just like, "Oh yeah, no problem, I'll get it." And he's like, "No,
she
you
has
come
to do
sit
it.
Back down. That is her job." And like, it's once again, the movie got real uncomfortable real quick,
and it stays
and it's
there.
Supposed to be, but it's just like. It is a little, that's what we were kind of talking about, where you kind of want to go in with not the expectation of it being a comedy, because like that took me and Marissa for a loop pretty quickly, the instant that kind of happened.
My girlfriend read a review that basically just spoiled the whole thing, so she knew and was kind of waiting to see when I would realize it. For me, I was like, oh shoot, when he shows up as a giant robot, because I remember you saying like an early draft of the script, she fights a giant robot, and I was like,
oh
well, maybe that's not the case.
And
but then like the more like it's like, oh yeah, nope.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have their first fight sequence. She goes back to her house, wakes up the next day, and Joel, the hunky guy, is there saying, like, hey, he wanted to apologize, so he wants to give you all this stuff. And it's like a whole truck full of gifts.
Yeah, just
and
like,
it's like, wow, that's weird. So she goes to his house, and he's like a hoarder, and he's got all these pictures with like his wife's face or like
his ex-wife's
face scratched out.
Whatever.
But all the pictures. This is where basically the director was like, what are like symptoms of abusive dudes? I'm just going to throw all of them together.
Yeah.
He's all of them.
And then Tim shows back up. Her ex comes to town because he's concerned.
Yeah.
But he's also still a jerk.
Yeah.
He's still like, she's like, yeah, I got a job. I'm doing a lot better. He's like, oh, but, you know, you're just a waitress.
Yeah, and you're better than that, and like,
which is like, go to hell.
Yeah, like, dude, like, you wanted me to get a job. I got a job. Back off.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
and she's still like, and this is her character development, because she's still kind of just letting him say those things. She's not really standing up for herself.
Yeah,
she's still the abusee. I would say it that way. And that is definitely a big part of this movie, is that she is. Her character from being an abusee to being not an abuser, but just being a healed person to a certain extent, as the ending kind of hints towards, but you know, she's an alcoholic. I mean, and that's something Marissa is not here, of course, but that's something she wanted to say, is like that. Like, it is interesting that this entire movie, every single person in this movie is either an abuser or abusee.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a single normal person in this movie, whether it's abusing alcohol, abusing drugs, abusing other people.
The only person who seemed to be outside of it was maybe
Joel,
but
I disagree.
He might be abused.
I think that he's been clearly beaten into submission by Oscar, because he just kind of meekly goes along with everything Oscar
wants to do. And once again, I didn't say this in the cast yet, but I thought the implication that I got is that like maybe he did something in his past that no one else knows about that Oscar does. And so Oscar holds it over him.
Yeah.
Because in the first sequence, whenever they're at the bar and Anne Hathaway is Gloria. Is that
Gloria? Gloria. Yeah.
She's hitting on him.
Yeah.
Like Oscar steps in and is like, gets like super mad and says says something like, "You're doing this again," or
what
something.
Are you doing? Yeah.
And like, so like, there's very clearly something there, but they don't ever talk about it, which I think was a miss, not a missed opportunity, but just a misstep.
You
like,
know I what
think
I
you
think?
Set it up and you didn't do anything with it.
I think someone from Warner Brothers came in and edited this movie down. I'm sorry, that was me.
I see what you're doing there.
A super cut of Colossal.
I see what you're doing.
But yeah, so we have that whole sequence.
So Tim comes back. Yeah. He tries to get her to come back with him.
Yeah.
But she's like, "Well, I got a job, and why don't you come see it?"
Yeah.
And so they go to the bar.
And
it goes great. And nothing bad happens.
We have a firework sequence.
Yeah. So one of the things that was really interesting here was, so before this, whenever we saw Oscar at his house, like you did, like I thought like maybe he had kind of taken a step back and realized that he was
a
jerk.
No.
See, I didn't know, because I wasn't sure where the movie was going to go at this point because it was so, it threw me off so much. I was like, well, what are they going to do? Like, then like,
as soon as I saw the picture with like the scratched out face,
I knew.
Oh, he's in deep.
See, but I just wasn't sure where they were going to go with it. So I thought that like the next sequence of events when they went to the bar was going to be completely different than what happened.
Yeah,
Because
and that
like
Tim was going to be the bad guy.
No. It was just weird because he went from 0 to 60 to being like you realizing that he's just this utter jerk, and then you took it back to like 25, even though the house is, you know, there's very clear signs of stuff, like you still took it back, and then you get back to the bar and he's like, oh, now he's back at 120 miles per hour of being just a jerk. And it's just like, and I get it, it was like that male territorial display thing of like, you bring your ex-boyfriend into this bar thinking he can rescue you.
How
or whatever.
Dare you? You belong to me now.
Yeah, you're mine now type of thing.
It was a weird, like,
once
this
again,
movie
very uncomfortable.
Really does encapsulate, like, toxic masculinity.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you know.
Once again, this is a real weird subject to be talking about a giant monster podcast.
Giant
we just came from Gamera versus Gauss to Colossal, where we're talking about, like, alcohol
from blood
abuse,
fountains to alcoholism and domestic
real
violence.
Real deep here, real deep.
Boy.
But yeah, so the fireworks scene, they like the he's being all like,
he's like, what's the
I'm
most,
the alpha
what's
in this
the craziest
situation?
Thing I could do in this bar?
Yeah,
is it peeing in the corner? No, I do that all the time. You know, like he's just like getting like more and more intense and really trying to show how tough he is. And then he just grabs a firework. This massive illegal firework. And then sets that off and then just like calmly walks away from it as like it starts to burn down the bar.
Yeah.
And then Jason Sudeikis does like this weird power play of like, hey, like it doesn't matter what I do. She's not going to leave with you. She's staying with me.
Yep.
Which, I mean, she is like in the position of like, and this is, you know, the metaphor, of course, of like an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
But the, you know, like reality is like, he's going to kill a bunch of people if I don't.
He's holding Seoul hostage.
Yeah. Like, he is literally holding an entire city hostage.
Like
that's.
Whew. And I don't, and I guess like it's a metaphor as to why she didn't say anything. Like,
yeah, because she doesn't say anything in that scene. She doesn't even tell, like, because Tim looks at her and is like, you're not going to stay with him, right? And she doesn't even say anything.
Like,
she just kind of looks back and forth because she knows the situation. And, like, she can't leave.
So we then get our next spooky sequence where the movie becomes like a thriller for a little bit.
Yeah, when he's
because
in the house.
She comes back home and suddenly he's just in the house hanging out there. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, your parents know my parents. So I just had a key. And it's like, ooh. So
he's like, I'm here to watch you while you sleep.
Don't worry, go ahead and
you
get
don't
some
leave.
Sleep.
It's
yeah,
fine.
I'm gonna make sure you don't call.
Yeah,
is what he says. Like,
so then she calls the guy after having
she has the flashback, and I think this is a good time to talk about this flashback because
everything is revealed.
This is the weakest moment of the movie.
Yeah, definitely. I think that they had flashbacks throughout the film, kind of like to this moment ish.
Yeah.
Never really showing what really happened.
Well,
but
it was
like,
all the same flashback. It just shows more and more.
Yeah. But I think the problem was is that like I got that somehow they got struck by lightning and they are controlling the monsters because of that. Like, yeah. Because they kept showing the lightning and they kept showing it heading towards her.
Yeah.
Like, in the brief flashes. So I was like, okay, like, that's all the explanation fine. I need. Whatever. It's weird and it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And at one point, she's carrying around the project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I so, agree. Like, once yeah. she saw that, it's like, oh, that's how the park became souls yeah. somehow. The lightning magic.
Well, okay, let's worked. Actually explain what happens. We're talking in vague terms.
That's true.
So she's a little kid. She's walking around with Oscar when they're like children, and they both have dioramas of
cities.
Of cities.
Yeah.
She has soul. He has some cruddier one that no one liked. A strong gust of wind picks hers up and it floats over into like this little field that eventually becomes the park
yeah.
where
yeah.
they
the, transform. The playground. Yeah, it's playground. Where the playground is. Yeah.
So Jason's like, I'm going to jump over and get your thing. So he climbs over and disappears. And then she also climbs over
yeah.
and she's looking for him and eventually sees him and he's crushing the stopping soul diorama, the project. Yeah.
Meanwhile, this lightning bolt starts
big,
coming down.
Slow motion lightning bolt comes and hits her in the forehead and then they both drop the things they're holding. And she's holding a toy
of the monster
of Shin yeah. Pulgasari. And that was the part that was weird. And then he's dropping like a robot toy.
Yeah.
And it's like the second that happened, it's like, why didn't anyone? Because that's a toy that
they only make
definitely
one
mastered.
Of those toys.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it could be like one of those like terrible, like off brand, like Walmart giant monster
but
toys
still,
that were around when we were kids.
They make more than one.
No, I know. Yeah, someone should have noticed, but
some weird person like any of
at
us.
The very least,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the very least, it could have just yeah, like the Kyle of the Colossus universe would like
you
look
think
over.
My house is just strewn with giant monster toys, but anyway, yeah, no, I think that. It was just dumb. I don't think we needed the explanation.
No.
And also, it didn't make any sense either. Yeah. Like, somehow lightning connected to the thing being crushed
yeah.
and also the toy and also the person.
Well, they're like, geographically lined up. They're perfectly
equidistant. Yeah, they're perfectly
equidistant.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right
park,
through the earth.
The park and soul are like perfectly equidistant.
Yeah, if you
from
drew a straight line through the earth,
somehow,
you get to it.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. That's what she does at one point, and she figures it out.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it not making sense, and I kind of wish they had just left it at the sort of nonsense. Because, I mean, like, is that what we're going to talk about, not making sense?
But that's what I'm kind of talking about, is, like,
no,
I feel like they should have just left it alone. If
yeah.
it's not going to make any sense to begin
yeah,
with,
no,
then why spend the time to try and make
yeah.
it make sense?
I like, just, they were struck by lightning. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, and then? I'm like, no, not
yet. Yeah, that was the only problem, is that I could feel like that some, like, test audience watched that and was like, but why does she turn into a monster and he
yeah.
turns into a... Make it make sense. And then, like, the director, like, you know, a month after they filmed the movie was like, just grab, like, a binder full of paper
yeah.
and a toy of Shin Pulgasari and throw that on the ground and film it. There we go. It's good.
Because, like the I know I just thought about this right now, but I think that puts the image in your head is that it keeps doing the weird flashbacks, the small flashbacks, where it shows the lightning bolt.
Yeah.
But, and whenever the monster or the robot appear,
they
it's
lightning.
Out of a storm. Yeah.
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 They're storm
cloud. So, like, that already makes the connection in your head without
yeah.
saying anything. It's visual
you-
storytelling instead of, like,
can
you know,
you imagine if she didn't have Shin Pulgasari, but she had like a naked Barbie doll
right,
or something,
like,
and like it's just this horrifying like Sailor Moon monster with like stiff arms and like a like plastic smile
yeah.
face and just stomps through. Oh
my god.
Well, I
there
mean,
was
like somehow
version.
Somehow they became realistic versions of the toys is what's,
yeah.
what's
which
even,
sounds even more horrifying.
Well, yeah, that sounds even more horrifying. But yeah, the whole flashback scene, it
what
doesn't
if, what if
help.
He had a slinky instead of a yeah. robot, you know?
I mean, that's
horrible metal tapeworm monster.
Right. Yeah.
Attack soul.
It's just, it was dumb. That part of the
I'm
movie
sorry.
Was legitimately just dumb.
I
kind,
have
yeah,
to nitpick this because it was like the only joy I could feel at that point in the movie, because other than that, it's just like,
it's
real
a rough
sad.
Ride.
Yeah, you're
boy.
Real rough at this point, especially with this next scene.
Yes.
So
as
Ron said,
it turns into a straight up thriller.
Yeah, as Rob said, it becomes a thriller. Like, she calls Tim
and he's like, I'm going to the park, and so she like they start like fighting inside
yeah, like,
the house
like a, once
yeah.
again another violent fight like
yeah.
it's also like it's very uncomfortable like
yeah it's
you know,
still Anne Hathaway doing comedy Anne Hathaway like noises, which was kind of jarring to
I
me.
Didn't get any comedy out of this
yeah. I felt like she was and that was only inside the house in the very beginning. Like, when she hits him with the chair, it's, like, serious. Then she runs to the door, and it's kind of, like, like, I just felt like she, anyway.
I guess for a second.
It's
maybe
only
for
like a little bit.
See, Rob has this, okay. I just want to point this out because this happened in The Host too, where Rob just picks up like these weird like things and then runs with it. Remember, because in The Host you were talking about like how it's not a comedy and we were all looking at you like you were crazy and you were like, well, this one thing happens and that makes it not a comedy. And we were like, Rob, the rest of the movie is a comedy. What are you talking about?
Okay,
I feel like
fine.
This may be that same situation just reversed.
That's okay.
Like, you're seeing
fair.
Comedy where there wasn't actually any comedy.
That's fair.
Like, I guess if you replace the soundtrack with like the Benny Hill theme
with slips and slides and boinks,
it would be kind of
anyway
funny.
Sorry, Rob, we're not meaning to pick at you.
Anyway, so they have a fight sequence inside the house and then he runs and falls into the little pond in the back, and that's when it's like The Shining. Like,
some people call those ponds pools.
Pools, there we go. it was just, there were so many leaves in it.
Yeah,
I know. At that point.
It's a pool that didn't have a cover, even though no one lived there. It's kind of odd, but...
If you guys want to hear how my brain reads way too into things. So, in this point, there is kind of imagery, I felt, of him looking almost like an alligator.
Yeah.
And her looking... kind of like a samurai, because she's holding a broken piece of the chair.
Yes.
And
I really got The Shining from it, because it's like steaming, kind of like, you know, when Jack's running through like the outside at any point.
Yeah.
And then like, instead of a baseball bat, it's like a chunk of a chair.
Yeah.
That's what I saw it as. But yeah, I guess you could say alligator and samurai. You know, like that classic film, alligator versus samurai.
Yeah, of course.
Classic mecha alligator versus mega samurai.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. No. Yeah, so he gets out of the pool, runs over the fence, and she chases after him.
Yeah, and this is when, like, the
this is when it
fights,
gets real bad.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The fight sequence this time is not...
This would be the probably... I would say this is, like, the...
If there were a cause for, like, a viewer discretion advised...
It's this one, yeah.
At the beginning of it.
This part's real hard to watch.
Because it's not, like... The previous fight, like, he's clearly just trying to show that he's stronger than her.
Yeah.
This one, he's trying to hurt her.
Yeah. Because he starts off, like, you think that he's kind of doing what he did before.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's just like, I'm not taking this anymore.
Yeah.
And then he just...
clocks her in the face and then really just hurts her and throws her to the ground. And then...
Yeah.
Kind of starts stomping around her in a circle. And, like, we have, like, the overlay of, like, the audio of the city being attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I was like, is she starting to be able to sync up more with the monster? Like, can she see and hear?
I think it's just supposed to be like, maybe like in her head.
Yeah.
Almost.
But
like she knows what's happening.
Because the last sequence, she's able to.
It's okay.
I still think she was like.
Just lucky?
I don't think she's lucky. I think she kind of guessed where he was based on where the robot was.
Well, I will say this.
Because it's equidistant.
The whole them having a connection thing is kind of ambiguous.
Because she gets hit with the missile and it hurts her.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt her, but like she feels it.
Yeah, she's like, ow, what was that?
And because that was in the trailer where she hits the helicopter. And
was that
like,
a person?
Yeah, which was a really funny scene back when this movie was funny.
Back when this movie was funny.
In the trailer. then the movie comes out and it's like, no, she killed someone.
Yeah. 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 So this fight is just, it's real violent. And the stomping around scene is a little awkward because once again, they don't really cut to the giant monsters much in this movie at all. So like,
which if you had have just kind of cut to,
I feel like you should have cut that at that point.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, I wish it was a little bit more clear if she was able to see through the eyes of Shin Pulgasari. Or not?
I just think like you could have cut back and forth between them.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had you see like and keep the okay. I'm gonna get all filmy for a second here. You keep the camera on her and you cut back to Sol with it still like the camera looking at her monster on the ground.
Yeah.
While you're seeing him stomp in front of the camera as the robot, and then you like you edit it together so that like he's like it's flashing back and forth over and over again.
You get the full scope of. The chaos and destruction and pain that he's causing Sol and her.
And her, yeah, because she's real messed up at this point, like we said.
Yes.
She literally got punched in the face.
Yes.
Like,
black eye with like
it like just
her cornea is like probably
bleeding.
There's a term for it. I can't remember what it's called.
It's
a blown out cornea.
I think
what it is.
I think what they call it is drifting with a kaiju.
Oh,
yes.
That was not an appropriate joke. It was a bad joke, sorry, for everyone.
Yeah. So, so we're real dark here. So, I guess let's get to like one of the last fun parts of the movie, which is the ending. Cause I actually really liked this.
Well, the ending is rad.
Yeah.
It's satisfying.
It's so satisfying. It's
like,
so she figures out, so she goes back to the house and is just looking at the mess that caused from the Thriller moment earlier.
Yeah.
And she hears something fall and she looks at the wall where she had planned out all this, trying to figure out what Soul was. Cause we forgot to mention that there was a point where she was like figuring out, this is what the park looks like. This is where the monster appears in Soul. And she was like tracking like where she could move and where the river was. So she could appear from that. Yeah. So she sees this map that she has flip upside down.
Yeah.
And it sends a thing into her head of like, wait.
She gets an idea.
She just gets up and leaves, and we have no idea what she's doing. I mean, audience, you can kind of figure it out that like she's probably going to Seoul, but
I started like slapping my girlfriend's leg at this point. I was like, oh yeah, because I thought she was just gonna step on him. I thought it was just that was gonna be the end of the movie. It's a little bit more detailed than that.
And and I wasn't sure like whenever this part was coming up, I thought that she was going to. Like when she was there, the monster was still going to be in Seoul, but she was going to be like underneath him, like piloting him kind of, but like it was going to be more direct. So she could actually see what was happening. So she could fight him like from there. And you were just going to see him getting beat up by invisible punches.
Yeah.
In the real time. But what happened in the movie was way more satisfying.
Yes.
Way better.
She goes to Seoul. Everyone just like keeps Seoul, capital of industry, does not care that there are giant monsters showing up on the reg.
Yeah.
They got bills to pay.
Like, none
and
of the
damages
buildings.
To pay off.
Also, no one figures out that the monsters usually show up from the exact same point.
Yeah.
I did think that was
Well, I mean, they
weird.
Do because sirens go off at 8:05.
Well, they figured out the time, but they didn't figure out the where, because there's always like a group of people every time the monsters appear. There's a group of people evacuating from where they appear. It's like,
and I mean,
why don't you just avoid the river area?
If Godzilla,
for now?
If Shin Godzilla showed up, the first time he shows up, like I even was making fun of it. It's like this, you know, miles tall monster, and there are people just staying on the beach and waiting until he's like a few feet out. Like, we gotta go.
Oh, are you saying third form?
His third form.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the goofy chicken thing.
No, I'm talking about third form where you can see all. Fourth form? Is that fourth form?
It's fourth form.
Yeah.
Fourth form that you can actually see.
Godzilla form.
Godzilla form Shin Godzilla. There you go.
But yeah, like, you know, this one, it's like we all know where they show up. We all know the exact time. They always show up at this time. So it's just kind of like. Well, maybe have a better evacuation plan.
Maybe.
But anyway, so she can walk past armed guards into like a secure area. Yeah. It's fine.
You just gotta give.
That I can kind of write off. I mean, they've got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah. Like literally bigger things to worry about.
Yeah. Much bigger things to worry
about. So yeah, he gets drunk and he shows up to the park.
Yeah.
To wreck the city at this point.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what he's going to do because she left.
Yeah.
So he's like, fine, I'll do what I said I was going to do, and that'll make her come back.
Yeah.
And there's a big dramatic, like, he's getting ready, cracking his knuckles.
He's like,
he shows up as the robot, and he cracks his knuckles, and it's really cool, like, satisfying, like, oh, God, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Because
that's when you think you're going to get a giant monster fight.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen.
A little
happen.
Different.
Instead, it's so much better.
Instead, we have her power walking, like, through, like, in slow motion. And every
towards
time,
the robot. Yeah.
And every time her foot hits the ground, like, you hear, like, this really deep echo. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing the robot, like, looking around, like, what? What?
And
then
it cuts back to
Jason or Oscar, and he's looking around, and he can hear, like, the loud stomps.
Yeah.
And
the ground shaking.
And then Shin Paul Gasari kind of pops up over, like, the trees in,
and
know,
pushes
New
some
England
trees
somewhere.
Over.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no.
Yeah, he gets real scared real quick.
So all of us in my theater, we all started clapping at this point.
Yeah.
And just kind of kept clapping.
Yeah.
Through the,
like, that's like the Hulk up wrestling moment. Like,
because
like after.
Because Pogasari like points at him and he's like, you
shakes
brother.
Her finger. No.
No. That doesn't happen. But.
This is like a very. Emotionally cathartic ending, and I said the same thing during Host emotionally cathartic, and that really is like a
especially with what happens. So yeah. So he tries to run,
he freaks out, he starts to run, she
and so the robot starts to run too.
And this is why I think she can see through the monster's eyes, because she grows down and like grabs an invisible Jason Sudeikis
and gets it on like the first try
and doesn't have to like swat around. I thought really we were just gonna get like the like it was just gonna cut to her slapping the ground, and then you see the robot just like flatten suddenly. Yeah.
That might be too brutal.
that would have been too brutal. But what happened was even better. So she grabs him and picks him up,
and the robot like
just starts floating.
It's
in
like
the air,
it's in the middle of the river, and it's just like
its arms and legs
floating.
Just like slam together.
Yeah.
And
meanwhile, everyone in Seoul is just like, "What is happening right now?" And she. Like, this was another thing that was weird, because she roars, the monster roars. It's the first time we've heard the monster roar.
She exhales, the monster roars.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, I actually kind of, like...
She's like,
did she, like, scream at him, like, or something? Because it never, because it shows her closing her mouth after it cuts back to her. Because when we see the monster roaring, it's all over there with Jason Sudeikis.
I mean, I would have.
So, yeah, no, I absolutely would have, but that's just because I'm a giant monster guy.
We're all roarers here.
but yeah, but then... He's like, let me go. And you think he's being all like sad or whatever.
And then
he just
says, like, "I'm gonna get you, let go of me." And he
says the
B
word.
Says the B word. Yep. I didn't want to say it because I'm a gentleman. and then she just chunks him.
She throws him
fastballs.
Fastball special into like oblivion. And then like we see the robot like
go flying
out
off
of range
and then turn into smoke.
Yeah.
And then,
Demmaterialize.
And I kind of wish they had shown us what happened to Jason Sudeikis, like maybe just a splash in the Atlantic Ocean.
No, I think.
But again, that would have been too brutal.
I think he smacked up against a mountain because the area they were in was very mountainous. So I'm assuming he just like hazed from King Kong, from King Peter Jackson's Kong, but
much less sympathetic.
And also very, very, very hard, much like way harder than hazed did. he's probably not anything anymore. He's not even, you probably couldn't even like figure out what he is.
So
that's how the movie ends.
Well,
really. I
mean, there's like that last little bit where she walks into a bar.
It's
and
the
like,
last joke of the movie.
I thought like, oh, like she's going to go back into storytelling. Like she's like, you want to listen to a story? I've got an amazing story. And then like the person's like, do you want a drink? And she goes, oh, and that's like the end of the movie is like a womp womp.
Yeah. She does find the most adorable bartender in Korea.
Yes.
Because she's like, do you want to hear an amazing story? The bartender's like, of course I do.
Sure. I'm into this.
So God, this movie's weird. I mean, it's good. It's very well put together with the exception of the flashback scene.
Yeah.
Everything else is very well done.
Yes.
It's really very,
well done.
Very good.
Eye
into that like abuse situation. I don't know much about that the psychology of it, but I feel like it was a good representation of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it follows the patterns
for all the characters involved, I think. And Hathaway like being the abusee and showing her getting out from under him and stuff like that,
and showing how it's not just like Oscar doesn't just try to exert himself over Gloria.
It's everyone
he knows.
That's the type of person he is.
It's a kind of movie that it got me shook. Man, like there were plenty of times. Anytime there was a fight sequence in this movie, I was
once again. It's
not.
It's the difference between a fight scene, versus like domestic abuse.
Yeah, I keep saying fight sequence because like
because
the
giant monsters are fighting
monsters for like a split second.
Yeah.
Oh man, this movie is. It's an emotional film.
Yeah.
It's a powerful movie.
Okay, so let's
do you want to talk about
let's
monster
briefly
design
talk
for
about
a
the
second.
Monsters.
Let's talk about something fun
Anything.
For a second.
Yeah, let's talk about something to take us out of this dark hole that we've driven ourselves into. So also I just want to point out last week Rob was talking about we were talking about how we won't spend much time on these early Showa Godzilla and Gamera films because they're so goofy and the plot's paper thin. And I joked about how we're going to get into real dark territory with like other monster movies. Don't worry about it.
Man.
I did not know at that point, so
you had
I'm
no
sorry.
Idea.
but anyway, so the giant monsters, once again, you don't really get to see them that often. So there's really not too much to really say.
Yeah.
Like you never really get a good clear look at
either of them. Like the Pulgasari, Shin Pulgasari, you do get a good look at.
Only at the very, very end, because that's the only daylight sequence. Yeah. That's here's the weird thing. They had someone who's really good at CGI. Mm-hmm. They had someone who was terrible at blue screen.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but anytime there was a sequence where you had to have a character blue screen, there was like a thick black outline. Yeah. Like, you know.
And like the, so Shin Pulgasari, like the thing that, well, it's not even a hit, like the design, it's the interaction with the buildings and stuff. I didn't feel like they were an impact. Like the first scene, like you don't see much destruction to begin with.
Well, she gets, that's the thing. It's like she reacts to like getting a missile hit, like hitting
her in
the
face. But she doesn't react
to... And she reacts to the trees because she has to push them out of the way as Pulgasari. But she doesn't, like, as she's walking through, I think it would just, like, one little thing. Yeah. You just have her, like, walking and, like, kind of, like, fall.
Stumbling,
like, stumble weird. And she's, like, you know, like, rubs her elbow, like, what?
Or she's just like, oh, I'm just drunk.
Yeah.
I'm just drunk and because, like,
yeah, that's the scene I was actually talking about was at the beginning when she's walking with the bag on her back. Yeah. And, like, he's, like, Shin Pulgasari is, like, elbowing through buildings.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel the like impact butter. On the monster, and I didn't feel the impact on the building as much either. Like, destruction wasn't right. Like, something was just off about it, and I don't know what it was. It wasn't really
a big, loud noise.
Yeah, like, it just, because it was news footage to begin with, so it's kind of, it just kind of weird. It lessened the impact of the giant monster stuff of it.
Well,
he's an interesting design.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like the little chest, like,
the outside, like, rib cage almost. Yeah.
And then it's got a big old butt.
Yeah. I love the design.
Yeah.
It's so weird looking. Yeah. I like its double rows of teeth. I like its little pug nose.
It feels like, it definitely feels like an Ultraman monster.
It really, does.
Ultraman monster. More so than any of the other things, I think. And it's I like love its giant horns and stuff like that. It's a very cool monster design, I would say that. And once again, it gets away from what I complain about all the time, which is the forward arm movement. So anything that's not forward arm movement, I'm 100% behind.
I mean, Anne Hathaway doesn't walk like that. Not in the film, anyway. I don't know.
You know, I don't know about real
life. Her personal life is mostly driven by her forearm.
He has some cool colorations that you don't get to see until the very end. Yeah. Like, he's got like some yellow, like in his face. Like, he's got like a, almost looked like war paint on one side of his face, but I don't know exactly what it was.
It's almost like the skin beneath his scales. Like, when you get up close, his skin looks kind of like an alligator scales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know how like there's the big rough bits, and then you can see the leathery skin.
That's kind of what it looked like. That's what it looked
like. Like in that movie with the samurai. Yeah.
Mega samurai versus mecha crocodile.
Yes, it's real.
I need to trademark that.
It's real. Look it up
before sci-fi gets a hold of it.
I know it's some sci-fi executive listening to the podcast. So anyway, so the robot. Let's talk about the robot. I didn't really like the robot.
The robot was probably cool, but we couldn't really see much of it.
Because it was nighttime.
I like that he had a single eye. Like, that's probably the coolest thing of the design. But
I like the little head fringes.
But once again, you don't get to see him enough to really... Like, I feel like it literally, from what we could see, it literally just looked like Gypsy Danger with just a weird head on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like a Jaeger that we've seen, just very generic, you know. And it didn't match the toy, which is weird. Like, the Shin Pulgasari matched the toy pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
But the robot, like, other than the head, like, the rest of it was just,
that's what makes me think this was, that scene was shot, a few months before the movie was released, like months after the movie was filmed, where it was just kind of like, we need to make toys that fit these monsters. But then they hired someone to make the robot, and it looks like they literally just because it had a red head
of it,
and a yellow body. And they were like, oh, well, we made the head and we're just going to super glue it to the body of this robot toy.
I mean, both of the toys look kind of like those NECA figures.
NECA?
Yeah. NECA figures. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh man, this is out of my wheelhouse. What?
So they're like those little plastic, kind of, I don't want to say cheap looking, because it's very charming, but they're not, you know, they're not realistic monster art figures.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Most of the fans listening to us will know what we're talking about. but no offense.
Not Rob.
It's just, they're not very... No. NECA figures are okay. They're just not the best quality. I agree with you. But it's the robot, once again, it's fine. But
it serves its purpose as a giant imposing monster.
But it's not like it's nothing to write home about. Like the at least Shin Pulgasari is cool enough looking that like, oh, I like that monster. Like it's a cool monster. But
I wouldn't
like,
mind a Shin Pulgasari toy.
Yeah, just like a little toy would be fine. Yeah. Like it would be cool. But the robot, like we wouldn't even get a toy of the robot because it's so unique. It's very generic, very blah.
If I saw a toy of the robot, I probably wouldn't recognize it as the robot from Colossal.
Right, yeah. Like, whereas Shin Pulgasari, you would instantly be like, it is recognizable, which is something that is hard to track down how to do.
Yeah.
As far as the filmmaking goes, though, because this is usually the last subject we talk about is
cinematography and sound.
I mean, it's a well-filmed film.
That's pretty looking.
It's a well-filmed film, yes. it is pretty looking. However, like we were kind of talking about with like the editing tricks that they did, I think that they could have... They went like half. Like they didn't go full... They didn't go full into it. They wanted to do something interesting with the flopping back and forth between the soul attacks and the park.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it to the extent that would have made it like mind-blowingly like, whoa, like this is really cool.
Yeah.
Or not even real cool, because at that point you're not supposed to feel it's real cool, but
I get
really just like eye drawing because like it got to a certain point in this movie where I realized like we haven't seen the monsters in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like we literally, ever since she apologized, we have not cut back to the monsters every time they go to the park.
Yeah.
There's just a weird lack of it.
I think it's a budget problem.
Oh, absolutely.
The one thing I was thinking with that sequence is I really would have liked if there were no screams when he's stomping around her in the park, and then like slowly transition to the show, like you were talking about, instead of like back and forth, just slowly fade into like his foot coming down, and then like it's the robot foot like crushing.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah. Or like, you know, pan up or something, and then like, you know, it like fades to nighttime or something, and it's like, you know, then you hear the screams.
Yeah.
Or because for me, when I was watching that, I was like, oh, is she starting to be able to, when she's not drunk, she can see through the monsters?
Which might have been the case, but once again, they never.
I don't think so. I think that was just more of an artistic
choice. But how did she grab Jason Sudeikis?
I think that she was able to gauge where he was for the robot.
Just lucky. She was just lucky.
Because, I mean, I don't think that she has some, like...
If she had have gotten to... Like, here's the thing. I would have accepted that.
Yeah.
But here's how I would have accepted it. She goes to Seoul, and then, like, we see her, like, with, like, her iPhone out.
Measuring it out.
You know, and then, like, she, like, picks up a piece of chalk or something and, like, you know, marks where it is. It's like, okay, and like this is where the apartment complexes are, this is where like all the kids walk, because like
she eyeballed it, man, she knew.
She's like, I'll wing it.
Incredible spatial reasoning on this scale.
Especially with her blown out eye and stuff. Dang.
Makes it sound like her eyeball is just dangling out of her face.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
not this week.
Spoilers
for next week's podcast,
man.
Anne Hathaway's eyeball pops out of her face.
I mean, it's a well-filmed movie. I didn't have any problem with it. Some of the music is actually really good. Like, there's some really good giant monster songs in this movie. Like, I would say, like, references to giant monster songs.
I feel bad because I after you mentioned it, like, I do remember like the opening song.
Yeah, which
like,
is because it plays again later on.
Yeah.
After the midway point, I didn't hear anything, like any music. Oh, I was just so absorbed by like the story.
That I will say that the music is very like, especially really the only times the music is impactful in any way, shape, or form is the monster stuff.
Yeah.
When the monsters are attacking each other and stuff like that. And sound design, of course, would be what we talked about. There's like stuff like the, when he's stomping and the stuff like that. But I mean, there's really, it's really filmed like a very traditional like indie film, is what I would say. There just happens to be giant monsters.
It's very A24.
Yeah.
If that statement makes any sense to anyone,
it makes sense to me.
No, I got you.
Fans are on their own.
So, spoiler. let's give our spoiler opinions of the film overall. Like, what did we?
Cameron, I feel like you're probably gonna have the most to say about this. Do you want to start us off?
Sure. I loved it. Like, I'm really good at going into movies and being able to sort of adapt my expectations, which I think is really important for really appreciating the movie, because it's nothing like they kind of pulled like an In Bruges if you guys remember that movie. Like, it had a trailer that came out that made it look like an outrageous comedy, but then it's like a really sad drama.
Yeah. It's about like someone killing a kid.
Yeah, and then a hitman killing a kid and then trying to figure out what to do with himself. Oh, and God. Also his partner has to kill him.
Yeah.
Jeez. That movie sounds like no fun.
In Bruges gets pretty...
It's a little fun.
I mean, it's still Colin like Farrell.
There's two fun.
Just like this movie?
This movie has like four fun.
This movie has four fun, and then also... when it stops being fun, it stops being fun.
Yeah. It like stops being fun.
Yeah,
pump those brakes.
It's not funny
anymore.
Time
for some drama.
It's very much not a monster movie. It's a human movie that happens to have monsters... in it. It's one of those like the real monsters, but not as heavy-handed as that. Like,
it's not the direct like the real monster is humanity, like, you know. Yeah. Which is such a stereotypical thing to say, but
it's really I thought it was really well done. I really like this director now. I've never seen anything he's done before.
Had his name pulled up. His name is Nacho Ville something.
I would actually, the only movie I've seen of his was Time Crimes, uh-huh. Which is...
I'm sold already.
It's basically Primer, but instead of multiple people and being really confusing, it's one dude.
And one
and
confusing.
And it's very simple. It's very, like...
Oversimplified, almost?
No. It's just, like, you follow... Like, they really go through step by step of how each iteration of the time travel thing is affecting each iteration of himself.
Mm.
And it's just... like the conclusion of it is just like, whoa. It's great. Yeah. I love that movie because I love dumb time travel movies. It's also a drama though. Don't go in expecting like a fun, goofy time.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of high concept stuff from this director going forward. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
He also did one other movie that I wanted to check out, but I don't remember off the top of my head, but Time Crimes was like, is a high concept time travel movie that is also kind of about like self-defeatism. Mm. Like he hits a
metaphor.
So it's kind
of
the
same,
kind
of the same thing that this one did.
Yeah.
Kind of in a different way, but different subject, but
it's not like as like, it's more just about like, you know, time travel. Like you can't break the loop, you know, like if you're set to do something, like it'll happen regardless.
Yeah.
The thing about this one is it very, I'm going to say something that's kind of unpopular. I didn't like Elysium all that much.
I feel like we're getting a little distracted.
No. Elysium and Neil Blomkamp in general is very like metaphor over plot.
Yeah.
This movie hits the exact right balance of metaphor and plot.
Yeah.
And it hits a harmony between them
where
the plot and the metaphor go hand in hand. At no point does it feel like, you know, the director is stopping being like, by the way, did you realize, did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you see the point I was making?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a natural plot progression that makes a statement. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to apologize to our listeners. I'm going to take back, I think I was just looking for something to bring a little bit of levity in my life in that like thriller fight sequence in the house. I wanted to like be like, please happiness, anything, because it is.
Please don't fight.
It's stressful. It is a stressful movie at like several instances. There's still Anne Hathaway is just a treat to have in a movie. She's great.
She does really good in this movie.
She plays off like an abusee, but not in like a defeated way.
She never at
no point do you feel like she can't handle herself or that she's deeply dependent.
Right, she's just in a dark place like in her life.
She's in a dark place and she's in a bad situation.
Yeah,
but it never feels like, you know, she's given up.
Well, the fact that her character, you know, it is the person that is going to stay if it requires. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just showing her decision. Like, even though like she could leave, like, you know, she could be that terrible person that's just like,
well, good luck, soul.
Yeah, I'm out. But she doesn't.
No.
So,
she, like, and I mean, that, again, drives into that metaphor of, like, no, I can't leave.
Yeah.
I want to, but I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, but it doesn't ever feel like, you know, the message is more important than the story.
Right.
This movie is grade A material.
It's really good.
It's really good, but, man, this is not, like, a fun giant monster movie.
No, it is not.
And it's okay. So my final thoughts on the film are, pretty much your sentiments are all, I'm echoing them, but I think that this movie, it's a really good movie. It really is. It's very, very good. It's definitely one of those movies that it's heavy. It's going to hit you heavy. And because of that, I whenever I think of like my favorite movies or favorite movies in general, I tend to think about rewatchability a lot. Like, you know, like Jaws is my favorite movie of all time.
Yes.
It's even more so than a Godzilla movie. You'd think I'm on a giant monsters podcast. One of the Godzilla movies got to be it.
Yeah.
No, it's because I can always watch Jaws and always find enjoyment in it. No matter how many times I've seen that movie, like probably 150 times at this point, I will never not enjoy that movie. This movie falls into that category of you probably only need to see it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those types of movies that it's impactful.
Yeah.
It's very, it deals with some heavy subject that is really kind of actually important in this day and age right now.
Yeah.
It's very important that people would see it, and using the giant monster stuff to kind of be the vessel that this message or this, you know, stuff gets dealt with in is great.
Yeah.
And giant monsters, of course, have always been used as
metaphors. One way or another. And it's, I've never seen a giant monster be used as a metaphor like this.
No, exactly. And so like, on those aspects of it, like, it's a great movie.
Yes.
But, one, don't go into it expecting a comedy, because that could ruin your time. If you cannot adjust to that,
Marissa walked in wanting, like, a rom-com.
Yeah, she walked in wanting a rom-com. You know, she knew there was going to be drama, but she didn't expect what we got.
Like,
drama.
And so she walked out of it not really... She didn't really have much to say about it. That's why she didn't come. She went to see it with me, but she was like, you know, I don't really have enough to say on a podcast about it. Like, and I get that. I understand that, because it is like, we were joking about it after we got out, saying like, should we even record an episode on this? Like,
like it is.
It's so much better. So, well, I don't know why I'm British all of a sudden.
Blimey.
It's so barely a giant monster movie.
Yeah.
Even though, like, by the definitions that we've given to what a giant monster movie is, it is a giant monster film.
Yeah.
But it, yet, the feeling that you get after walking out of the movie, and the feeling that you get while you're watching it, once it gets to that halfway point, is this is not a giant monster movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird, like, running that red line of, is it a giant monster film? Is it not? And I just think overall, it's a great movie. You should see it.
Yes.
Absolutely, you should see it.
Yeah. But, as we said before, I think that you can watch it on DVD.
Yeah.
Or Blu-ray or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix, because the monsters play such a small role, it's not really a big blockbuster.
Yeah.
And like, also, I feel like...
even the, like, destruction sequences, there's no, like, volume, because it's all, like, post, you know, it's news footage. So you don't get, like, the Toho, you know, monster smashing through a city
kind
of effect ever.
I mean, I would say, let me say it this way. I would say let's say you're just a huge giant monster buff. And I mean, that's why you listen to the podcast, is you're a giant monster buff. You really have not much interest in like dealing with those kind of heavy things. Like if you are more of like a Showa Godzilla fan and stuff like that, this is not the movie for you, to be perfectly honest. I mean, it really isn't. And that's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, it's the same way that some people love the Showa Godzilla, some people like the Heizai Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which is why our fan base is so divided all the time. But yeah, I would say that it's worth seeing if you like thought-provoking stuff like about abuse and stuff like that, and just are interested in a really good film.
I mean,
it's a very well-made film. It may not be for everybody. I would say it that way.
It's a heavy film, and it was the kind of thing where like I walked out afterwards and was just like, ooh, I don't know how to talk about this one.
I'm going to be thinking about this movie for a while.
Yeah. I messaged that to you guys in the group chat right after I walked out. I was like, this one's going to be weird to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to say.
I think the first thing that we all said in the group chat was like some like version of, whoa, wow.
Yeah. yeah. So,
oh, geez.
So yeah, so that's our Colossal review. I don't know. I think you can go, if you're interested in seeing it, I think the official Colossal website has where it's showing and when on it, since it's so limited. I think they have like you can put in your zip code to see if it's playing anywhere near you. I know that some places, like we said last episode, I know that like the Alamo Drafthouse by my house down way south from Austin is getting it on the 28th. So there may be a release for other people later on this month.
Hmm.
But you can go check that out if you're interested to see it.
as we kind of have been smattering about next episode next week. Probably next weekend, just like this one's going to release on Sunday. Probably it'll be next Sunday.
Yeah.
We will be releasing an episode on Gamera, Guardian of the Universe.
A much more fun movie.
Way more fun movie than this. Rob has never seen it, it's exciting.
I need a palate cleanser.
And this is a good one to cleanse your palate on. So it's kind of the end of our Gamera double feature. So as far as special reports go, I kind of talked about it, you know, last episode, but, this is the last special report of the year for the most part, until we get to Godzilla, the anime at the end of the year.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sure if we're going to do that as a special report or just an actual episode itself. It depends on the release and how that all works out. Cause it's so early. We don't, you know, Japan's getting it in November. We could be getting it December or beginning of next year for all we know.
It'll be our Christmas episode.
Yeah. But yeah, so we so this is the end of the special reports, probably until Pacific Rim next year.
Ooh.
So
excited.
So we'll be going back to our normal two episodes a month. You know, we'll be trying to keep the Twitter and the Facebook going and everything going a little bit more than we have been lately. So as always, go to iTunes, search Tokyo Lives, leave us a review, go to TokyoLivesPodcast.com, go to Twitter and search for @TokyoLivesCast, and you'll find our Twitter, and Facebook, of course, same thing, search Tokyo Lives and you'll find us.
Yeah.
So should I hint towards May a little bit? Should I give them a little bit more or just tell same the same thing Marissa said of it's going to be unbelievable, everybody.
There we go. I don't think anyone's going to get that.
Nobody gets it.
I'm pretty sure we've actually said what's coming in May at some point. Did. But anyway.
even so,
I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Also, yeah, we're sorry for this episode being so dark and depressing. Wow.
take a walk. Go outside.
Smell some flowers. Yeah, walk your dog. Pet your cat.
Just, you know, hug someone close to you.
We'll be back to our happy, joke-loving selves next episode, I promise.
Go find some eggs.
Go. Oh, yeah, it is Easter. Happy Easter, everybody.
Oh, yeah, happy Easter.
And a happy Passover. I don't know what that happens on Passover. Sorry.
That was earlier.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys next time. Okay.
See you later. Man, that movie.